Hey, parents, leaders, how's it going? It's me, Justin, here with Tardycast. I know it's been a couple weeks since we posted really anything at all on the podcast, and I'm sorry for that. Just so many crazy things have been happening, doing camp and getting ready for, all these parent nights that we've been doing and just different stuff in junior high. I'm so sorry that it's taken a while to kind of get something new up there. But we're back this week, and we're back with a topic that, has been coming up and not coming up in terrible ways, but it's been coming up just through really healthy conversations we're having with leaders, and we thought it would be great to kind of record something, put it out there for all of our leaders. So this is really kind of really specific to leaders, but parents, I think this is something that you should hear too, because it's something that happens when we unveil the topic in a second. You'll know exactly what I'm talking about. It's something that's very common. It's not evil or sinful, but it's something that's very prevalent, especially in youth ministries, not just our youth ministry at Mariners and junior high and high school ministry, but I think youth ministry in the country, this is a pretty prevalent thing that happens. And how we deal with this thing, keeping in mind we haven't said what it is yet, matters a lot, not just to how we care for students, but the integrity of our ministry. So this is what we're talking about today. We're talking about how do we handle and deal with students when they develop crushes on us as leaders or staff members. So this totally happens. I personally know it happens because when I was in high school, I had a crush on one of our female leaders. Her name was Abigail, total crush-worthy name, and it kind of got around that I had this crush on her. Now, you might think that the story goes that, she was just really nice about it, and, she, didn't really lead me on, but she wasn't mean to me, and, and that me as a high school kid, I had this glimmer of hope, but that's not how the story went at all. Abigail was an incredible volunteer leader when I was in high school, and when it kind of came out, then the word got around that I had this crush, she treated me like I had, the plague. She totally stopped being around me. She avoided me every chance she got. And while you hear that and think, well, that sounds so terrible, she was a great leader because she knew how to handle crushes that students had on her. We see that all the time at Mariners. Students have crushes. They develop crushes. It gets out. I've had students who had crushes on me before. It happens in youth ministries, but how we deal with it as leaders and as staff members matters. So I'm here with Kristen Carter, our junior high director. So parents, you probably have emailed her about camps, or you've emailed her about making sure your kid's in the right cabin at camp. Leaders talk to her obviously all the time. Every leader knows who she is. She does everything with our volunteer leaders and everything with our interns. And I thought she'd have such a great unique voice on the other side of it as a female staff member and what she sees and has experienced in her years doing youth ministry. So Kristen, you're here. Welcome.
Hello, everyone. Nice to talk to you all today. Basically, yes, that has been an issue in a bunch of youth ministries. I went to Azusa Pacific University and studied this stuff as well. And unfortunately, it's just a normal and a natural thing that does happen in youth ministries all across the country. And it's just a matter of how we deal with it. That is important. So not to negate the fact that it's like, oh, this is weird, or oh, this is strange, but normalizing it and realizing that it's out there is a huge first step. So we're going to be talking about that today and what that looks like.
So let me ask you this, and this is probably a question that I think the answer will surprise some people, but we actually have a kind of a policy around this. This isn't like a shocking thing that we don't expect to happen. We kind of have a best practices of how we train our leaders to begin with, that when a student has developed a crush on you, how we want you to react, right?
Absolutely.
So in very few words, because I don't think it needs a lot of words, it maybe only needs one word or two or three words, how do we train our leaders? And so parents, this is good for you to hear. Leaders, you probably know this. If you don't, this is a good reminder. What do we train leaders to do when they find out there's a student, or when a student is acting like there's a crush on them?
Well, basically, kind of on the forefront of the end, every leader that we have goes through a student ministries interview where we do talk about the security values as far as becoming a leader and what does that look like and being the example to the students in the ministry, because the reality is that we are the adults and they are the students. So as a rule of thumb, we always say to our leaders, hey, you know what? Guys are here to minister to guys and girls are here to minister to girls. And that's the focus. Obviously that doesn't negate that you shouldn't get to know students and, you know, high five every single kid that walks in the door. But the relationships that go deep are the ones of your same gender. So we do talk about that. And we also talk about the fact that, you know, we don't date any students. We don't, you know, we don't get in cars with the opposite gender and drive around alone. There always has to be someone of the same gender in your car if that's the deal. So those things are the rule of thumb that we do go over when a leader is coming on board so that we're all on the same page as far as that. But as far as training practices and things like that, I think the rule of thumb really is if you realize that a student has developed a crush on you or is talking to you a little too long that is the opposite gender, the rule of thumb is just to run. Excuse yourself from the situation. Be like, hey, that was great talking to you. See you later. Because we just don't want to put any leaders or any students in uncomfortable situations.
So I hear that, and obviously I totally agree with you. I know I agree because I spoke into part of that policy, obviously. But so playing the other side for a second, though, I'm listening to this, I'm a parent, I'm a leader, and I think, well, that just sounds so mean. You know, there's a student that's coming to you, they feel more comfortable with you for whatever reason. Maybe they want to spend more time around you, they want to open up to you. Like, isn't that what you're here for, you know, students who want to open up to you, to be there and be available? Like, it just sounds so mean to just, you know, run, you know, if a student has developed a crush. But I feel like there's more... there's a reason behind why we want them to run, why we want students and leaders of the same gender to be doing ministry together and not cross genders. Like, what's the implications for that? If, say, there were some girls who started connecting with our male leaders instead of our female leaders and vice versa, like, what risks do we run as a ministry if that is the culture we've created?
Absolutely. I think the risks that we run as a ministry is just skepticism as far as what is going on. People can look at that on the outside in and just say, hey, this is a little weird, like what's going on, and kind of question the motives behind what is going on, whether it's the leader or the student. And so the rule of thumb really is just for protection of the student and the leader and the ministry as a whole, because the reason why we do have other female leaders that maybe, you know, the girls don't know, or male leaders that the guys don't know, is, hey, you know what? If a student is connecting with you and opening up on a deeper level, really when that starts happening, emotions start becoming involved, and that's when it can get a little tricky. So basically, the rule of thumb really is to be like, hey, you know what? I know this great leader, her name or his name is, depending on which gender the student is and who's talking to you, of what gender you are, but basically just referring that student to that leader to talk about that difficult subject. Because when you are of opposite gender and you're a leader and there's a student involved, you're running the risk of some pretty high profile things that, you know, a lot of people just can't escape from. And so we just want to protect the ministry from that, protect our leaders from that, our parents from that, and our students from that as well.
You know, I'm trying to think of examples of where these clear lines are drawn, and there's clear lines drawn all over junior high. I can't think of a scenario, and I think there's freedom in this for leaders. I can't think of a scenario where a male leader needs to be texting or Instagramming or DMing with a female student. Like, I can't think of any scenarios, and the same thing would go for female leaders with male students. And I think we've structured the ministry that way because every single student has leaders available to them who can connect with them, their same gender, who can build a relationship with them. Part of the lead small, in the orange philosophy is being present with them randomly, being present in their life, building relationship with them. Do you see scenarios where male students need to be texting female students or vice versa?
No, not at all. I know that there's been situations where students have gotten leaders' numbers, whether through, other leaders or whatnot, and the other leaders aren't thinking of, that student is wanting that because they have a crush on them. So there could be a scenario where they do get your information. And basically when that happens, we just kind of want to defer, that conversation to the same gender of a leader and student so that there is no situation there. Because really, the whole idea, that's why we have female leaders and why we have male leaders to minister to those genders of students. And so that's why the leader culture is super important, because if you're investing in the leader culture here and not just kind of like, I serve at life group or, I serve on the weekend, and you're getting to know the leaders that are around you that you serve with, it really puts some tools in your toolbox to be like, this kid would really connect with this person. Mm. And so that's really important. That's what we're trying to build with our leader culture as well.
I can't remember how many times I've said no to a student who's asked for a leader or a staff member cell phone number of the opposite gender. Typically I don't give out staff phone numbers in general. But I can't, it's hard to remember all the times I've said no, because there's just been so many times. If a little encouragement or coaching for the leaders, there's nothing wrong with saying no. If a kid asks for that leader's phone number, if they ask for your number, that's your decision to make for sure. I give my number out to tons of male students all the time. I do not give my number out to female students. I just don't do it. I would never give a leader's phone number out to someone of an opposite gender. I would never do it with a staff member. It's okay to say no. Students have asked me. So this is very blunt. Students have asked me, well, why can't I? And I'm very honest. I actually don't like giving, male leaders numbers to female students. It doesn't feel right to me. But you should connect with some of our female leaders. Let me introduce you to one of them. And I'm pretty open about it. Because I think honesty is sometimes the best policy with this. And you don't want a student walking away feeling rejected, when they don't need to. I think there's a very easy answer to why they can't have that number. But there are situations where I'm okay with students walking away feeling rejected, knowing that it's not complete rejection. I have had girls that had crushes on me, and I've avoided them like the plague. I've handed them off. I think some of them I probably handed off to you, Kristen. And I avoid those girls, and I block them on Instagram, because I don't want to even give like a tomato seed of hope or thought that this is something that is okay or reciprocal. And I think reciprocal is the real word. I think that sometimes, and I don't know what you would say about this, sometimes we get into the worst situations in youth ministry because we are reciprocating, but because the behavior of reciprocation is there. So reciprocating is, I'm texting them back, they asked to hang out, and I say okay. But just the seeds of reciprocation, because if you don't reject it, there still feels like, it's kind of like the Dumb and Dumber. Like, so you're saying there's a chance. So we leave the door open for this reciprocation, but it's not bad to just be harsh about it. Close the door. Make it clear that this isn't going to happen. And avoid them. What do you think about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I know that, that for the student, this is something that is probably very innocent. And they're just like, man, I just really want to talk to this person. I think they're cute. Or I think that they're a great leader. And so I just want to go and talk to them and get that relationship with them. They're going to try. By you realizing that, okay, this is an innocent thing and this is something that I just do not engage in, is a way of protecting them and their integrity and their walk with Jesus even. Because a lot of times it starts out innocent and then you find yourself in places where you never thought you would be. And so that's really what the purpose behind all of this is to protect the student and protect protect the leader at all costs, because if there is any hint of something that a student is saying about you, then unfortunately it does damage to the leader, whether it's true or not, because we have to protect the ministry and the student and the families of this church.
So, you know, so I think if I were to give just a couple words to kind of sum a lot of that up, I would say that leaders, not only is there no expectation that you are engaging in relationship in, of any level, hanging out, driving around with, texting, DMing, Instagramming, whatever, with students of the opposite gender, like not only is it not encouraged, like it's actually adamantly discouraged. And that's for your protection. It's for what is healthy for the student and healthy student relationships. And it's healthy for our church that we can say to parents that we have great leaders that can really relate to their kids, really relate to them in life groups. And we just know that can't happen cross gender with junior high students and adults. And you know, if a student is ever asking for numbers, asking for another leader's numbers, no is a fine answer. Mm-hmm. And if a student, it's clear there's a crush or there's some kind of advances, like you're in a conversation with some people and then, you know, some girl or some guy pops in and they're kind of lingering. And like adults, I think adults can pick up on this, the flirtiness of kids.
Yeah.
Cause they're not, kids are terrible at masking it. So adults can pick it up. I think adults, leaders, if that happens, not only do we want you to run from that and like, that's healthy, we want you to run, we also want you to come tell us. Letting Absolutely. Us know what's happening helps us not only care for that student, make sure that student's connected, but there's also, you know, sometimes bigger things at play there that we as staff will be able to see and identify in that kid's life. And it helps you. It helps you have the freedom of this, not having the stress of it or the worry of it, of what might be thought of or seen or what might be interpreted or what rumors might start. If a staff member or a leader comes to us and lets us know like, hey, this happened, even if you don't think it's a big deal, but you just let us know, that's always a good thing. It lets us help you as a leader.
Oh, absolutely. And it also shows integrity as well on your part. And just that you value what's best for the ministry, which is a big, huge deal. Yeah.
You know, I'd probably say on the parent side, you know, parents, you know, I hope you're loving what you're hearing. Because what we're talking about is how we are living out a ministry of integrity. And this is the same for junior high and for high school, living out a ministry of integrity and doing it to protect your kids but not just protect them safety wise, but protect them emotionally. Making sure that they're not chasing after something that, you know, will obviously never happen. And then the feeling that there's a chance and then the heartbreak of it. You know, we're helping hopefully to take care of your students emotionally and otherwise. But, you know, parents hear this, you know, there should never be a reason that your student is texting or DMing or hanging out with a leader of the opposite gender. I think the only exception, believe it or not, there is one exception I give to this, and that's our band in student leadership. You know, we have a female worship leader, Brittany, who's not here right now. She just had a baby. I know that she is the only worship staff member we have. And so she'll follow up and email students and email parents and sometimes be texting students. But you know, there's so many layers of checks and balances with Brittany, just like there was with Jason when he was here. And there's a lot of female students in the band, obviously. There's a lot of male students in the band. The same level of checks and balances there for a purpose. So I think probably other than that one scenario, there is no scenario where your student, you know, is texting a female, you know, texting an opposite gender staff member or leader. There just isn't a scenario for mm-hmm. it. There's no reason behind it. There's no purpose for it. So if that's happening, you know, I think that's something, you know, that you should come tell us. That's something we should know about because that's something we need to take care of. Not once again, not just to protect the students, but to protect the ministry, to protect our leaders, and to make sure that we are living a ministry of integrity. I think it's important.
Absolutely. We just don't want to put anybody in any uncomfortable situations all across the board.
Yeah. You know, the one thing I'll add in, you know, the one person who kind of, I don't say I break this rule by any means, but, you know, I read this really incredible study about, you know, the impact for specifically the one I read, it was about, you know, girls that don't have father figures in their life and the quantifiable impact of, you know, a male leader or a male staff member, like a pastor, like use me as the example, giving words of encouragement and words of affirmation to them, but in an appropriate way. So like there's an appropriate way to give encouragement and affirmation that is healthy and good. There's good unquantifiable things that happen in a young girl's mind when they're getting that healthy encouragement from a male figure. But we don't ask leaders to do that. You know, I would say that's something that I do. That's something that there's some other male staff members who they know, and like they know the healthy, appropriate ways. I would say same thing for you, Kristen, with male students that are growing up with a dad and no mom. You know, the healthy affirmation you can give a male student. There's an unquantifiable thing that happens when they get that kind of encouragement from female leaders in their life. But once again, that's not something we tell every female volunteer to do by any means. I would say there's kind of specific things like that we hold as pastors in our church, knowing the impact that it will have, but by no means is that something that we ask everyone to do, because I don't think everyone's trained to do it.
Right. The other thing that I would add on that note is that it is never done in private. It is always done in a public setting, whether it's on the weekend or whenever we see that student when they come to JHM. It's just a word of encouragement or a word of something in passing or when we see them. So it's never more than a 1 minute conversation. That's kind of just the rule of thumb for that. And it's always done in public.
Yeah. You know, I love scrutiny. I love answering questions about this. So parents, if you have questions about this, please email me, call me. I'd love to talk about it. I speak for the high school pastor as well. If there's questions you have, we'd love to talk about it. Leaders, if you have questions about this, we would love to talk about it. And if there's a confusion or a point that we weren't clear on, please talk to us. We want to help, there be clarity on this to pursue what is best and healthiest for our students. So thanks for tuning into this. I hope you found it interesting. Once again, there's nothing unhealthy about crushes. If anything, having a crush is a really healthy thing. It's totally normal. It's not odd. It's not weird. How we handle it, I think we handle it in a godly way that is reflective of the church and the values of our church. But having crushes is not weird. Doesn't make your kid odd. But we handle it this way, for all the reasons we just laid out. So I hope that you parents and leaders enjoyed this. Pretty good?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, guys, don't forget, there is an awesome parent night coming up February 4th with Jim Burns. It's going to be really good. There's information in the parent email about it that we sent out in junior high and the high school one as well. There's information online about it. You should definitely check it out. Jim Burns, it's on sex and sexuality, which I think is a really important topic. We're doing a sex series in May called The Birds and the Bees, all about sex and relationships in junior high. I think that's going to be so great. Thanks for tuning in. Any last words, Kristen?
It was awesome to be here.
It was awesome to have you here. We got to do this more often. All right, guys, enjoy yourself. Don't forget TardyCast. Never be late to leadership. And this is your chance not to be. Have a great day, guys. See you at church this Sunday.